Okay, are you there? Genesis chapter 22. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. We thank you for giving us hearing ears and eyes that see what you want us to see, Lord, what you want us to hear from your word. We thank you that truth is being revealed to our hearts. And as your truth is revealed, it makes us free, Lord. We thank you for liberty that's coming in our lives as a result of the truth of your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, we've been talking about the names of God as revealed in the Old Testament, the seven names of God. There are seven names of God revealed in different Old Testament passages. 2 weeks ago, we started with the name Jehovah Shalom. The Lord is our peace. Last week, we spoke about Jehovah, who can fill in the blank? Sit canoe. It sounds like I sit in the canoe, okay? It's spelled T-S-I-D-K-E-N-U. If you weren't here with us, you can go back and listen to last week's message. Jehovah Sikkenu, it's a Hebrew word that means righteousness. The Lord is our righteousness. And I was talking with some folks yesterday and had the opportunity to tell them, you know, a good analogy about, which I shared last week as well, with about the archer. You remember the story about the archer? You know, it's like we draw back the bow and we release the arrow. Oh, this is 2 weeks ago, I'm sorry, 2 weeks ago. We draw back the bow, release the arrow, and the arrow misses the target altogether. And Jesus steps up and takes the bow and he draws back, releases the arrow, it hits the bullseye, smack dab in the middle. Then he takes another arrow, releases it, it goes through the first arrow, goes right into the center of the bullseye. He takes the third arrow, releases it, it goes through arrow number one and arrow number two, straight through the middle and right into the bullseye. What does that represent? Jesus can't miss. His righteousness is perfect. He didn't miss, he didn't forget to cross a T, he didn't forget to dot an I. When Jesus walked the earth, he did everything perfectly.
Yes.
And then he turns to us and says, now you get the credit. He hands us the bow as if we'd gotten the credit for the three bullseyes. Amen? He paid the price. Jehovah Sikkenu. He is our righteousness. He's the one who wins for us. He's the one who earns our right standing with God. And today we're going to talk about Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh. And you notice in each of these names, what it winds up being is that Jesus, who we said Jehovah, the word Jehovah actually means Yud-Heh. It comes from the Hebrew letters Yud-Heh, Vav-Heh. There's four Hebrew letters there with no vowels. They don't write out the vowels when they write their Hebrew. The vowels are understood, but they're not written. And the letters in the name Jehovah, Yud-Heh, Vav-Heh, literally mean, in the Hebrew language, they mean the open hand, look at it, or see it revealed, and then the nail, look at it and see it revealed. Okay? Is it any clearer than that, that the name Jehovah refers to Jesus? Okay, behold the hand, behold the nail. Or another translation means the hand of grace and the nail of grace. God was willing to take the nail for us to make payment for, number one, our peace, shalom, our righteousness, sitkanu. God took it through Jesus taking the nail of grace in his hand. He paid for our peace. He paid for our righteousness. And today we're going to see that he paid for our provision. Did you know you can't earn your provision? You say, well, I work for a living. No, as a believer, we work to serve the master. We work to serve the purposes of the kingdom in society. We work to be productive for other reasons. But you cannot earn your provision in the kingdom. It's a gift. Just like righteousness is a gift, just like peace is a gift. Amen? Now turn to Genesis 22. We're going to read the whole chapter. So buckle your seatbelts. Imagine that. We're going to read the Bible in church. Wow. Genesis 22. I'm reading in the King James. And it came to pass after these things, God did tempt Abraham. Now that really means he tested him. God can't be tempted with evil. So that's a King James word, but it really means he tested Abraham. And he said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee unto the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes. I hope you'll underline that phrase or highlight it in your Bible. Lifted up his eyes. You're going to see in just a moment, that's a very key phrase in the revelation of Jehovah Jireh. He lifted up his eyes and he saw the place. What place did he see? Moriah, the mountain that God, is verse 2. Okay, this is a pop quiz. We've only gone 3 or 4 verses down. Don't lose me now. Come on. Football later. Let's study the Bible now. Moriah. He lifted up his eyes and he saw the place that God had told him about.
And verse 5, Abraham said unto his young men, abide you here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. What is that symbolic of? His son is carrying wood. Who else's son carried wood for us? Jesus. Very, very clear picture of Jesus right there. He laid the wood on his son's shoulders, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father. Now this is about as heart-wrenching a conversation as you can read in the Bible right here, what we're reading in verse 7. My father, he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Painful, isn't it? Abraham knows what his son's asking about. Verse 8, Abraham said, my son, God will provide. I hope you underline that in your Bibles. God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. And as the, so they went both of them together, and they came to the place which God had told him of. What was the place's name? Mount Moriah. Good. I'll tell you in a moment what it means. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Verse 13, and Abraham what?
Lifted
up his eyes. I have a feeling, this is just my personal interpretation, I know that's a biblical phrase in the Bible, but I also feel like at that moment when the angel cried out and the voice of God came to him and said, don't harm the son. He's got his knife raised. In a sense, from his heart, he had already done it. He had sacrificed Isaac. And God cries out to him and says, don't touch him.
Amen.
And I imagine that Abraham collapsed to the ground in a heap, as we all would in a similar circumstance. And that's why he had to lift up his eyes, in a sense. When it says, Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked and beheld behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. Who does the ram represent? Who wore the crown of thorns? Come on, you can say it. It's a pop quiz. Jesus, okay. The ram represents Jesus. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Another translation says, on the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. Okay? And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thee as thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the great of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Who's that? Us, Gentiles. we're blessed because of Abraham's obedience and because of the seed, which is Jesus. Because thou hast obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba. And Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. Now look at verse 20. It's almost as if the Bible is ADD. It kicks into a whole different gear here in verse 20, and it leaves you wondering, kind of scratching your head, what on earth are they talking about? And it came to pass after these things that it was told Abraham, saying, behold, Milcah, she hath also borne children unto your brother Nahor, Huz his firstborn, and Buz his brother. So you got Huz and Buz, and Kemuel, the father of Aram, and Chesed, and Hazo, and Pildash, and Jedlath, and Bethuel. They were kind of odd on names back then. And Bethuel begat Rebekah, and these eight children Milcah did bear to Nahor, Abraham's brother. Now look at verse 24. And his concubine, whose name was Reumah, she bare also Teba, and Gaham, and Thahash, and Maacah. Okay, we made it. We got through it. We'll come back to those verses at the end of the chapter in a moment. I'll explain a little more about what I believe the Lord is saying there. But I want you to notice a few things. We're just going to let's go back and just review what we read. I want to take a few notes here. If you're writing notes, these are important things to highlight. Number one, God said in verse 14, he said, or it says here that Abraham called the place Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh. In the Hebrew, the word, of course, I've explained to you already what Jehovah means, but Jireh is actually the word Ra'ah, R-A-A-H, with kind of an accent between the R-A, so you got two letters together, R-A, accent, A-H, Ra'ah, and it means to see, to gaze, or to see to it, okay? In a sense, you could say the name means Jehovah will see to it. I love that translation. Jehovah sees. That's literally the translation, okay? Jehovah is looking. Jehovah is aware. You could say God is aware of my need. And that's why it's translated in the modern translations, God will provide, right? Because if someone's aware and they care, what are they going to do? They'll take care of it. They'll pay the bill, right? If someone has the means and they know you're in need, at least that's how we should be in society, right? With almsgiving, it's the whole idea. Almsgiving, we're acting like our Heavenly Father. We're aware of the need. We have the means to take care of the need. And what do? We handle it. We see to it. So the name Jehovah Jireh means God will see to it. God will see to it. Isn't that good? Jehovah will see to it. And notice this. It has the word in the modern translations, Jehovah provides. Provision. I like that word provision. What does that word provision speak of? Well, in that word, the big part of it that stands out to my understanding is vision. Vision. And as we see in this story, why I had you underline that phrase, Abraham lifted up his eyes. Lifted up his eyes. God, Abraham saw. He saw the mountain afar off. Abraham saw the ram in the thicket. There's some examples. There's a principle here. I want to explain this to you. That sometimes seeing itself is the provision. Seeing itself, revelation, is the supply. Let me explain that to you. You ever been going along, you've been like, God, my car needs new tires, you know, or I need a new winter coat, or whatever it is, and you've been praying about something and asking God, and all of a sudden you look up one day and you realize, oh, I got the money in the bank account to pay for that. I can get that myself. I can go buy it. It's there. I have it. And it's like a light bulb goes off in your head and you realize, I've got the provision. It's not like God had to actually add anything to you. It's just like while you were sleeping under the radar, God kind of slipped, you know. You just wake, you came to the realization, I've got this. Anybody ever experienced that? Yes. That's happened to me a lot of times. Okay. What is that? That God's given you the provision. He's not only given you the supply, but he's given you the vision to see that he's given you the provision. Okay. You have it. It's there. That happened to me this week. I was in need of something and I realized, oh, I've got it. It's there. God's already supplied it. That's provision. And he also not only gives us the actual substance we need, the substance we require, but the light bulb to go off in our head to realize, I got it. I have this. All right? What an amazing revelation. But sometimes that's just the way it is. And we see that in this story. The ram was already caught in the thicket. Abraham just didn't see it. Why? He's focused on one thing. He's about to kill this son that he's been believing God for years. His heart can't see anything but poor Isaac going down. And in fact, look, hold your finger right here in Genesis 22, but look in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, real quick, turn over there. It's the faith chapter, but keep your finger in Genesis 22. We'll come back. Hebrews 11, verse 17. Hebrews 11, 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. What story is that talking about? It's the story we just read in Genesis 22. So you can write that out in your margin if you want. Genesis 22. Okay, so you know where this story is relating to. He offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son. What was the promise? That he would have the son to begin with. He received that promise. He got Isaac, and he offered him up. Notice how the word, the verbiage, the Holy Ghost, the way he describes it there. He offered up his son. You go, well, I've read the story. No, he didn't kill Isaac. I've already seen the end of the movie. It didn't happen. Read on. Verse 18. Of him it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. In the modern translation it says, figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead. Yes. In other words, before he ever let the knife down, in his heart, he had already offered Isaac. That's what the Holy Ghost is saying. By faith, he had done it. And God knew it. That's why he stopped him. He said, don't strike him. I got you. I hear your faith loud and clear, Abraham. You don't have to actually carry this out. What would have happened if he had? God would have raised him up. That's what it says right here. He understood in his heart. Why did he have to get him back from the dead either way? Because God had made a promise. Through Isaac, you will have a family and it will be a blessing. You will develop into, you know, a great people. It's like the sand on the seashore. We just read it. So Abraham, by faith, offered Isaac. Now go back to Genesis 22.
Abraham didn't see the ram caught in the thicket, but it was there. God had already put it there. Amen? It's just that the Holy Spirit at that moment revealed, and it says he lifted up his eyes. He saw the provision. Let me give you some other examples. This is so fascinating. I want to preach with my shoes off. It's such sacred ground we're on. Genesis 22 is such a holy chapter. It's so sacred because it's so symbolic of the Father sending his Son, Jesus, to die in our place. The ram represents Jesus. The ram died in Isaac's place. Isaac represents Jesus. I mean, Jesus is all over this story. He's all through it, saints. There's another story. If you flip back to Genesis 21, just the chapter right before where we're at, Hagar had been sent out into the wilderness. You remember Hagar, her son Ishmael, who was not the chosen seed, but Ishmael was making fun. They were having a party to celebrate Isaac had been weaned as a young toddler. And at the party, Ishmael got out of hand, and Abraham's wife Sarah said, "Out of here. You guys are out of here. I'm not going to have mockery going on with my son, the promised child." And Abraham sent them away into the desert. Well, Hagar and Ishmael, Ishmael's a young lad, and they go out of the desert. It's a hopeless situation. Look at verse 17 in chapter 21, verse 17. It says, God heard the boy crying, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, "What's the matter, Hagar? Do not be afraid. God has heard the boy crying as he lies there." They were both dying in the desert. They realized their food and water had run out. They're going to die because they'd been sent away. Verse 18, "Lift the boy up and take him by the hand, for I will make him into a great nation." Look at verse 19. Then God opened her what? He opened her eyes, and she saw. She saw a spring or a well of water. She went and filled the skin with water and gave the boy a drink. And they survived. Good, happy ending to a story that was going to end bad. But you see there that Hagar lifted up her eyes. She saw what was there all the time. The spring was there all the time. It's just she didn't see it. So let me say this. In your encounter with this God I'm describing to you today, saints, he is Jehovah Jireh. He is the Lord who provides for you. He is Jesus, your provision. In fact, it's a past tense. It's a done thing. He is the Lord who has provided for you even before you have the need, and the need is supplied. And sometimes it's just a matter of him opening our eyes to see, hey, here's the supply, and he leads us actually right to the provision, because he is Jehovah Jireh, the God who sees, or the God who sees to it. You got a need, he'll see to it, because he's Jehovah Jireh. Amen. That's good. Now looking back in verse 2, there's a lot of twos in this chapter. 22 is the chapter we're in. Verse 2 describes the mountain where this all happened. What is the mountain called again? Moriah. Very good, class. Moriah. What does Moriah mean in the Hebrew? Does anybody study this out, or you have it in your notes there in your fine print? Okay, shout it out to me.
Chosen by God.
Okay, very good. In the back of the class. Chosen by God. Moriah means chosen by Jehovah. That's actually what the meaning of Moriah means. Do you know what the significance of Mount Moriah is, where Abraham offered Isaac? I'm glad you asked. I'll explain it to you. Number one, it was this story, very significant mountain, because it is so symbolic of God offering his son Jesus on our behalf. Amen? The mountain Moriah is a sacred place. In a sense, Abraham offered his son in sacrifice on this mountain. How many of you know when sacrifice happens, heaven connects with earth? I can't explain it, but there's something that happens when true sacrifice from the heart, done in faith, happens. I'm telling you, the ground is hallowed. That's why I said I want to preach with my shoes off today. It's such sacred ground we're treading on in this passage. That on this mountain, Mount Moriah, Abraham literally, by faith, offered his son Isaac out of obedience to God. And the Bible refers to Abraham as the father of our faith. That's how good he is. Abraham's the father of our faith. Why? Because he was willing to sacrifice his son. That mountain is sacred. Why is that mountain? Why else is that mountain sacred in Israel? Keith's going to be going here this month. Keith Ewan's going to be going to Israel. Little fortunate man there. And he'll be seeing a lot of these mountains that we read about in the Bible. But Mount Moriah is also, he'll be going up to Mount Moriah, because Mount Moriah is also what? It's where Solomon built the temple. Did you know that? Well, let's look at it. Look at it in your Bible here so you'll be established in it. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 3. Oh, before we go there, let me say something, because I want to stay chronological. Mount Moriah, it means chosen by who?
God.
Jehovah. Okay. Chosen by Jehovah, chosen by God. If you might say it's chosen by Jesus, really, because Jehovah really means open hand, nail in the hand. Who is it specifically? It's Jesus, our Lord. So it is a mountain chosen by Jesus. It is the mountain where, in a sense, figuratively speaking, in this story, Genesis 22, Jesus himself was sacrificed on our behalf. It is also a mountain. This is an interesting story. I'm going to get to Solomon in a moment, but look in 1 Chronicles 21:15. 1 Chronicles 21. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Oh, there's so much meaning in this. I told the Holy Spirit, I said, I'm in overload. I was putting these notes together. I said, you got to capsulize this down. You got to make this. Because, you know, the Bible's just this way. It's like spaghetti. Any subject you delve into, it's just like a plate of spaghetti that just grows and grows. You ever eaten a plate of spaghetti? And, you know, you thought you just got a decent portion, you know, a respectable portion of food on your plate. And you start eating, you realize, oh, I'm full. But you still got half a plate left. It's like it grew on the plate. That's the way the Bible is. You start diving into any subject, and it's like, it's endless. It's like outer space.
Look at 1 Chronicles chapter 21, 15. 1 Chronicles 21, 15. There's a story here. I don't have time to read the whole story. Let me give you the background, and then we'll read 1 Chronicles 21, 15.
David, in error, the Bible says, Satan came against David and tempted him to number all the fighting men in Israel. David's been a very successful king, and now he's gone out and said, he told his commander, he said, go out and take a census and number all the fighting men. What was that about? It's called pride. How big's my army, right? So David says, go number the army. And God had told Israel, he said, never do that. Why? Because God fought the battles for them.
Yes.
It didn't matter if they had 3 soldiers or 30,000 or 3 million. It didn't matter. When they went up to war, if they were going up against their enemies and God was with them, it doesn't matter how many soldiers they got. God's with them. Amen. And God wanted to fight their battles for them. He never wanted them to rely on their own strength, upon their own pride. And David did this. And in the process, there was a terrible plague that struck Israel. I think it was 70,000, believe, that were slain. But anyways, reading down in verse 15, look what God did. It says in 1 Chronicles 21, 15, God sent an angel unto Jerusalem to destroy it. And as he was destroying, the Lord beheld, and he repented him of the evil, and said to the angel that destroyed, it is enough. Now, that phrase, the Lord beheld, what does that sound like? Lifted up his eyes. God saw something. God saw something. What did he see? And he's looking down at Jerusalem, and he's ready to wipe out the city. What was God looking at? Come on, I've been giving you this pop quiz all morning, class. Mount Moriah. What happened on Mount Moriah? Isaac was offered. Symbolically, God, from the foundations of the earth, was going to offer Jesus in this very vicinity. And God sees Jerusalem. The Bible says God beheld, and he repented him of the evil, and said to the angel that destroyed, it's enough. Stay now thine hand, or put your sword away. And the angel of the Lord stood by the threshing floor of Ornan, the Jebusite. Well, first of all, Jebusites were the people that inhabited Jerusalem. Just a little connection there, okay? And what is the significance of a threshing floor? In the Bible, the threshing floor is where they separated the wheat and the chaff. It's symbolic of judgment. You know, that word judgment kind of makes us shake in our boots. But really, judgment's a positive thing. Don't you know? Judgment is where white separates from black and good from evil. It's dark, you know, darkness from light, night from day. That's where God separates the evil from the good. Judgment is a good thing. A threshing floor is symbolic of that. And John the Baptist made this remark in Matthew 3:12, if you're taking notes. He said, Jesus, when he comes, his winnowing fork will be in his hand, and he will separate the chaff from the wheat on the threshing floor. So what does the threshing floor represent? It's a pop quiz. Judgment. That's where the separation happens. And the angel of the Lord stood by the threshing floor of Ornan, and David lifted up his eyes. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? Verse 16, David lifted up his eyes and saw the angel of the Lord stand between the earth and heaven, having a drawn sword in his hand stretched out over Jerusalem. And David and the elders of Israel, who were clothed in sackcloth, fell upon their faces. And David said unto God, Is not I the one that commanded the people to be numbered? Even I it is that I have sinned and done evil indeed. But as for these sheep, what have they done? Let thine hand, I pray thee, O Lord my God, be upon me and on my father's house. Let's skip down. We don't have time to read it all. But here's what God does. Look down in verse 2. Let's just read it. It's so good. We got to read it. we got to read this verse. We're in right here. Let thine hand, I pray thee, O Lord my God, be upon me and my father's house, but not on the people, that they should not be plagued. That word plagued is very significant. Hold on to that word and we'll read on. Then the angel of the Lord, verse 18, commanded Gad to say to David,
that David should go up and set up an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. And David went up at the saying of Gad, which he spake in the name of the Lord. And Ornan turned back and saw the angel and his four sons with him, and they hid themselves. Even men get a little spooked when angels come around with swords. Now Ornan was threshing wheat, and as David came to Ornan, Ornan looked and saw David and went out of the threshing floor and bowed himself to David with his face to the ground. David said to Ornan, grant me the place of this threshing floor that I may build an altar therein unto the Lord. Thou shalt grant it me for the full price that the plague may be stayed. That's a very significant phrase. Hold on to that phrase. We'll come back to it from the people. And Ornan said to David, take it. And let my lord the king do that which is good in his eyes. For lo, I give you the oxen also for burnt offerings, and the threshing instruments for wood, and the wheat for the meat offering. I give it all. And the king David said to Ornan, no, I will verily buy it for the full price, for I will not take that which is thine for the Lord, nor offer burnt offerings without cost, that which cost me nothing, as the song says. Verse 25, so David gave to Ornan for the place 600 shekels of gold by weight, and David built there an altar unto the Lord, and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings, and called upon the Lord, and he answered him from heaven by fire upon the altar. That means he accepted it. And the Lord commanded the angel, and he put up his sword again into the sheath. And at that time when David saw the Lord had answered him in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite, he sacrificed there. Okay? So here's the phrase I want to stand out from this story. Where is David? He's in a threshing floor, which is a place that represents judgment, separation of wheat and chaff, or good and evil. And where is this threshing floor? It's in Jerusalem or on Mount Moriah. Okay? It's in the vicinity of Mount Moriah. And what happens in this story that's significant? What phrase do we want to stand out? Well, because of the sacrifice, the plague was stayed. Amen. Because of the sacrifice, Amen. The plague was stayed. I hope you'll hold that phrase, lock that into your conscience, okay? So we have a couple things. Isaac was sacrificed on Mount Moriah. David at this threshing floor in Jerusalem in the vicinity of Mount Moriah stayed the plague through what? Sacrifice. And one more thing, 2 Chronicles chapter 3. 2 Chronicles chapter 3. This is years later. I want you to notice God chose and God told David where to do this sacrifice. That's very significant. What does Mount Moriah mean? Chosen by Jehovah. What did happen in the story we just read in 1 Chronicles? Jehovah told David where to sacrifice. Yes. On the threshing floor. Look in 2 Chronicles chapter 3, verse 1. Solomon began to build the house of the Lord at Jerusalem in what? Mount Moriah, where the Lord appeared unto David his father in the place that David had prepared in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. He began to build in the second day of the second month. In the fourth year of his reign. A lot of twos. Did you know God's into numbers?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Most Bible scholars don't necessarily, I don't think they admit that when the King James Version of the Bible was put together that the numbering of the chapters and verses was necessarily specified by the Holy Spirit. But it's pretty powerful how it connects. We just read in Genesis chapter 22, verse, that's a hint, 2, that Mount Moriah was where God told Abraham to take his son. And Solomon built the temple here in the second day of the second month of his fourth year of his reign. More importantly than the numbers, although I think the number thing is pretty cool. Solomon built the temple where? On the very threshing floor where David, his father, years ago had stayed the plague. And what does that place mean? Moriah means chosen by Jehovah. It's a place of judgment, separating evil from good. It's where the temple was built. What does the temple symbolize? A place of what happened in the temple constantly?
Sacrifice.
What else happened? What else was significant about the temple of Solomon? The temple was where God chose to dwell. His what? His presence. So two things we see related to Mount Moriah, which means chosen by Jehovah. It's the place where God chose to dwell. It's also a place of great sacrifice.
See the connections? It's just, it's mind-boggling. David, his forefather, years ago had sacrificed there at that very spot that where Solomon now built a temple that years later, once this temple was erected, and it took a long time to build, once they got it set up, what would happen there day and night? Sacrifice. Animal sacrifice, which all symbolized what? Jesus being sacrificed on the cross.
Amen.
See, it's so, so sacred.
Amen.
So, so sacred. So when we say, oh, he's Jehovah Jireh, listen, don't just throw that name out there loosely. There's a whole lot. This book, this history that we Gentile Christians tie into is rich with meaning. It's rich with human history and emotion. A father about to lay a knife into his son's chest at the command of God, in the place that God specified, Mount Moriah, which means
chosen by God.
Very good, chosen by Jehovah. Or Jesus, which is also where years later David would stay the plague by creating a sacrifice on an altar built on a threshing floor, which represents judgment, separation of evil and good, in a place that would later become the very site where the Temple of Solomon would be built, a place of great sacrifice and a place where God dwelt by his presence. And his name is called Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Ra'ah. If you were speaking Hebrew, it'd be Yud-Heh Vav-Heh Ra'ah, which means Jesus, because we as Western Christians, listen, we make no bones about it. We understand Jehovah means Jesus, the open hand with the nail in it. I mean, there's no denying. Jesus will see to it. Jesus sees your need. Did Jesus see the need of Abraham in that moment?
Amen.
Abraham needed a substitute,
yes,
for a resurrected son.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And God saw to it by putting a ram in the thicket, right, caught by his horns, thorns on the brow.
Amen.
Who is that?
Jesus.
It's Jesus written all over these stories,
yes,
saints. And his name is Jehovah Jireh. Amen. How can you be assured God will take care of your needs? Oh, how can you miss it? Genesis 22:2, Mount Moriah. Solomon built it in the second month of the second day of the... so many connections.
Yes.
A God who cares for your every need.
Amen.
Look in verse 16 and 17 again. You're back in... Oh, we need to go back to Genesis 22. We're going to wrap up there real quick. Genesis 22. Woo! I could soak in the glory on this one for a while. Keith, I'll tell you what, you better take your Kleenex. You ascend Mount Moriah here in a couple weeks. Go up to the what? The Temple Mount.
Yes.
All that's left is the foundation, the Wailing Wall, a heap of stones where the Romans destroyed the temple in 70 AD. But you're going to be on sacred ground. Where thousands of years ago, yeah, like I said, you need to take your Kleenex. Genesis 22:16. By myself, I like the New International Version here. The angel of the Lord said to Abraham, "I swear." Did you know God swore now and then? He says, "I swear by myself that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son," verse 17, "I will surely..." Oh my goodness, if you don't underline that word, you're going to fail the pastor's pop quiz for the week. "I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand of the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring all nations on earth will be what? Blessed, because you have obeyed me."
Amen.
Something very, very sacred happened on Mount Moriah thousands of years ago.
Yes.
Because the father of our faith, Abraham, did this, God says, "I swear, surely." That's a double positive. I, God, swear, and I'm declaring surely.
Yeah.
You will be blessed.
Amen.
I'll take care of your needs.
Amen.
The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not
want.
Why? Because He is Jehovah Jireh, the God who sees. Do you have needs? You know, we hide our needs from each other, but God sees. He's the God who sees. He's the God that can make your light bulb come on to where you see the provision. Ah, it was there all the time. I got it. Boom. Sometimes it feels like almost God didn't answer the prayer, like it almost happened by accident. But no, don't make any mistake about it. The ram caught in the thicket is His provision, because He is Jehovah Jireh, the God who sees. And He will see to it. And He says, I swear, surely. Because there was a sacrifice that happened on Mount Moriah by the Father of our faith, you can be assured. And because there was a sacrifice that happened by His lineage, David, in obedience to God, and the plague was stayed, you can be assured. Because there was a temple built where day and night there was sacrifice offered that was symbolic of who? Jesus, who would come one day and be offered on Mount Moriah or in the vicinity of Mount Moriah. You can be assured. He sees your need.
Amen.
And He will see to it. It's not just a, oh, this is a fun name of God. No, this is power. He says, surely I will bless you. Surely I will see to it. Surely I will come through for you. I am Jehovah Jireh, the God who sees. Amen. Won't you stand with me? By the way, I told you we'd come back to it at the end of the chapter where it talks about Milcah and Huzz and Buzz. Okay?
Yeah.
What the significance of that is? You know, Abraham had a son in his old age. That was the promise to Abraham. A miracle baby in his old age. It doesn't specifically say it, but I believe the Holy Spirit's implying here that Nahor, his brother, also had children. Why would it say, oh, Abraham, we got some news. Your son has also borne children. I believe the Holy Spirit is at least insinuating that Nahor, in his old age as well, had a gaggle of kids. 8 kids by his wife, 4 by his concubine, 8 plus 4 makes
12.
How many tribes in the in the nation of Israel?
12.
Listen, blessing is contagious.
Yes. Yeah.
Abraham walked the walk of faith and brought Isaac into the world through his faith.
Amen.
Through the miracle power of God. But it was a partnership. Years later, he gets the news. Hey, Nahor, your brother, has also had kids. What?
Amen.
Why was that a surprise? Why would the Holy Ghost even put it in this chapter? Unless it had been unusual that, you know, maybe they hadn't been able to bear children up to that point. I believe that's what the Holy Ghost is implying. And the number 12, I mean, there's definitely a connection there between. And by the way, Abraham, this son Isaac, who just got raised back to life through God's provision with the ram in the thicket, from him 12 tribes will come. Blessing's contagious. As you go, this word I've declared over you today, if you will walk in, and listen, what I'm doing with this teaching in my own life, every day I'm saying, you're Jehovah Shalom, you're my peace. You're Jehovah Sikkenu, you're my righteousness. I'm reminding him of who he is, Jesus, that is. And now this week, throughout the week, as you think of it, say, you're Jehovah Jireh,
amen,
the God who sees. The God who sees to it. And as you walk in the blessing of God, your provider, God, your provision, listen, this thing's going to be contagious. Your relatives, your distant relatives, you'll get news from your relatives. So-and-so just got a raise at their job. So-and-so just got a promotion. Why is that? Because you're walking in the blessing of Abraham. Amen? Thank you, Father, for your great promises. We thank you for the promise indeed of your word where you said, surely I will bless you. I swear I will bless you. For you are Jehovah Jireh, the God who sees. Thank you for your provision for Abraham so that he didn't have to sacrifice his son physically. We thank you that the ram was caught in the thicket and the ram was symbolic of your son Jesus, who would one day be our sacrifice so that we too could walk in the blessing, the provision, and we could be assured without doubt that you see our need and you care for it. Thank you, Father. Thank you that you reveal yourself to us as Jehovah Jireh, Jesus who sees.
Amen.
Hey, if you're here today and you've not been born again, just want to take a moment and say, Scott, I need to respond to this message by giving my heart to Jesus. If you want to give your heart to Jesus for the first time today, or you're coming back to the Lord, you say, I've been running from God. I need to come back to Him. I want you to just raise your hand real quick where you're at. I want to pray a prayer together with you so that we can do that, take care of business, so to say, in the house of God. Anybody at all? You say, I'm coming back to Jesus, or I've been away from my Savior, or I'm accepting Jesus in my heart for the first time. If that's you, anybody at all, just raise your hand right where you're at. We're going to pray and do that. We don't want to let you go today without taking care of that business. Thank you. Anybody at all? Thank you, Lord. Well, Father, I thank you that your people are blessed. We're blessed coming in. We're blessed going out. The blessing of Abraham has come to us through this great covenant that you've made with Jesus. Lord, we don't understand it all, but what we understand, we say amen to. We say yes to it. We declare you are Jehovah Jireh, the God in our life who provides. And we bless your name, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.